What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's been a busy and chaotic week in Washington, D.C., and so we thought we would check in with CBS Chief Washington Correspondent Major Garrett on a Thursday, as we do every Thursday. Major, good to talk to you this week.
I need to check in with your producer again. That's Dazed and Confused from Led Zeppelin. Are you suggesting that's what I am?
Not you.
No, not you.
Just everyone else.
No.
Everyone else, Major.
No, if anybody's got a handle on it, it's you.
Yeah.
Okay, good. All right.
Hey, people are still bringing up to me our conversation about you not wearing battery-powered pants to the inauguration.
Yeah.
They go, let me tell you about a little thing called the Secret Service.
Yeah. We're going to keep that one on the highlight reel. Yep. We're going to keep that one on the reel.
That's all we do. Hey, all we do on this show is create bangers. That's all we do.
No actual content. No one's just bangers.
Yeah,
just
that's
bangers.
It, man.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well,
right, so
as much fun as this has been. Okay, Major, I'm going to be completely honest. It's been pretty hard to follow what's been going on in D.C. I'm having a hard time even kind of following what is a threat, what is a proposition, what's something that's actually taking place. So I guess let's start with the FBI and the CIA and the offer to buy out some of those federal employees. What exactly is going on?
It's an offer. Very few will take it up. That is to say, the people who work for the CIA, the FBI, tend to like their jobs. They're oriented toward the work. They have qualified for it. They've, in many respects, been trained and retrained and have gone up the ladder. So I don't think we're going to see a voluntary reduction in the number of CIA personnel or FBI personnel. That's a separate issue from non-voluntary reductions, and there will be and have been already at the FBI. I think the politics of this for the Trump administration and for President Trump are very simple. They don't anticipate any lingering negative feedback, especially from their base, but even the country writ large, saying, or headlines capturing efforts to reduce the size of the federal workforce. They think that's how most Americans will distill this and say, well, generally speaking, I'm happy with that. If, however, there are problems that arise because either federal employees have taken buyouts and left, or are distracted, or are fearful, and they're not as good as their job, and something happens under the FBI's purview or the CIA's purview, terrorist attack or something else, that is when this will be recontextualized. People will view it differently. But right now, the president is assuming that as long as the conversation is about trying to get a handle on spending and the size of the federal workforce, he will not pay a tremendous political price. There are practical realities that are already slowing that down. Most federal employees are represented by a labor union. They have rights. They are in the civil service. Those rights have been protected and recognized by Congress and federal courts. So there's going to be a process. If you voluntarily go for a buyout, is the president going to make good on that? Is he going to pay you for the remainder of the year? If so, where does that money come from? Congress hasn't appropriated that. Where does that money come from? There are just a great number of questions about this, but we're not going to see a hollowing out of the CIA. We're not going to see mass resignations or buyouts at the FBI. Those people love their work, and they want to be there for a reason. It's not only patriotic, it's the work that they like to do, and it's not as if you can find replicable work in the private sector. Mostly you can't. If you're really involved in that kind of stuff, that's the agency you're involved with, and they're going to stay.
What about what we're hearing, FBI, members of the FBI who are going to be let go or, I don't know, prosecuted or maybe just fired for their role in January 6th? What is that?
Okay, so there will not be, according to the current FBI leadership and what has been said in confirmation hearings, firings of people who worked on a January 6th case if you were tasked by your field office supervisor to work on a January 6th case. And January 6th case were worked on by the FBI all over the country because people came to Washington, stormed the Capitol, then went back home. So they said if you are an FBI agent and you were assigned and you don't have discretionary wherewithal to say, well, I don't want to accept that assignment. No, you take the assignment, you work the case. In those instances, at confirmation hearings and lots of other public representations, those agents are not going to be fired. However, senior leaders within the FBI have been dismissed, and that is because their aggressiveness or their hyper-curiosity about chasing down leads in January 6th case to this new incoming administration appear overtly hostile to President Trump and his agenda. Whether that's true or not, they're empowered to make those determinations and change senior leadership. However, having said all the things I just said, FBI agents are still concerned. Why are they concerned? They're not going to lose their jobs necessarily, but this list about anyone who worked on a January 6th case has now been gathered and handed over to senior FBI and Justice Department leadership. How secure is that list? Why do FBI agents care about this? They don't want their names out there. Why? And think about this for a second. Just think about this for a second. FBI agents in our country are concerned for themselves and their family as of having their identities revealed because other Americans could be unhappy with a task they were given to investigate what was a fully visible crime committed on Capitol Hill on January 6, 2021. They don't want be exposed to threats or violence, and they don't want their families exposed to threats or violence. That is a continuous cancer from January 6, 2021. That's the only way to describe it.
So there is, I was going to ask you if that is a, can you make a good argument for doing what they're doing right now or the intent behind it?
So the argument would be there was an overzealousness to January 6th prosecutions. Too many people were caught up in too extensive a dragnet. I would say if you're concerned about that, and you believe that the FBI might have been too aggressive about chasing down people, did they go through due process? There are allegations, reckless ones on Capitol Hill, that due process was denied. Not true. It was not denied. Everyone got due process. And many people either pled guilty or were convicted. And there were cases that were pending. All those pending cases have been dropped. But from the Trump point of view, everything associated to January 6th, by its very nature, was not a standard criminal investigation. It was a political pursuit, a persecution. Now, history will record whether or not that's actually true. I don't believe that's true. I believe people who stormed the Capitol, who beat up cops, who went inside the Capitol and disrupted proceedings to stop the certification of a legal, valid presidential election committed a crime. Full stop. And they need to be held to account. President Trump doesn't believe that. That's why he pardoned all of them, even the most vicious cop beaters that day. He's pardoned them all. That's the dividing line. What do you believe January 6th was or wasn't? If you believe that anyone prosecuted is a basically innocent American patriot who must be pardoned, and anyone who investigated them must be punished or threatened with the future of their employment in the FBI, then you're on the Trump side of it. History will record not only what this actually is, but the damage that might stem from this. Because the damage that might stem from this is if you win a political argument in this country, you can rewrite the definition of what law is. That's the great underlying stakes of this matter.
Major, what is the update for some of the higher profile confirmations like RFK Jr. and Tulsi Gabbard and Kash Patel?
So there's a little bit of wobbliness about Kash Patel this morning. I'm not really buying it. If Tulsi Gabbard's going to get confirmed, and she's certainly on the way to that, then I don't see how Kash Patel is not confirmed. And RFK Jr., I always thought, though there would be turbulence, would be confirmed because he has, unique among all other Trump cabinet secretary nominees, a full standing MAGA adjacent echo chamber, Make America Healthy Again. And lots of people associated with the MAGA movement have created sort of a subsidiary for RFK Jr. No other cabinet secretary nominee has that sort of subsidiary political entity status. RFK Jr. does. He's on his way to confirmation. I was surprised that Tulsi Gabbard made it through committee so easily. And once you make it through committee, it's very hard to see a process by which you're defeated on the floor. Kash Patel hasn't made it through committee yet. Again, there's some suggestion this morning. It's a little bit wobbly. I don't know. It feels to me right now, as I'm talking to you, that Trump's going to get everything he wants.
So, as I know, we sort of started the segment talking about, everything that's really happened and people in government concerned about their jobs. How much concern is there about the DOGE committee, generally speaking, or the whatever you want to call it, organization mm-hmm. that Elon Musk is heading up right now? Just the fact that it exists and it seems to have unilateral power, even though Trump earlier this week said he can't do anything without Trump's approval.
Yeah, Trump said that. We don't know what the approval process is. We don't know how regularly Elon Musk or his associates check in with anyone at the White House. What we do know is, minimally, the wealthiest person in America, who gave $280 million to President Trump's reelection campaign, has access to the largest single database of Americans' private information, financial and otherwise, Social Security number, bank account number, address, everything. That database is now viewable by Elon Musk and his assigned associates. We don't know in what way, shape, or form they have secured systems upon which to view this, meaning even if they have no evil intent whatsoever, even if they're just benignly looking for waste, fraud, and abuse, a bad actor, a hacker from Iran, North Korea, China, Russia, there are many hackers who constantly try to penetrate the federal government, can find possibly their way through a less secured system because it's with Elon Musk and his 19, 21, 22, 23-year-old associates. We don't know what cybersecurity protections they've created at all. None. And no one's explaining it to anyone. And we don't have any real sense the White House is even asking. And I know my friends have been texting me saying, wait a minute, I get my tax refund every year via my bank account because I file my taxes electronically. Does Elon know all that? I'm like, he sure does. Well, could he reach into my bank account? I'm like, I don't know. I don't think so, but I don't know. Like, could he transfer money out? Could he stop? Could he give my refund to somebody else? I'm like, I don't know. But those all seem to be valid questions, valid concerns, because people who have no expertise here are now in the system. And even if you're on just a read-only mode, and we're not really sure yet if they're in it or can just read it, but just think about this. Elon Musk has many, many, many federal contracts, Starlink and SpaceX, among the two biggest, meaning he has other federal contractor recipients who are direct competitors of him. By being in this system at the Treasury Department, where every piece of data about anyone who receives any money from the federal government, including contractors, resides, at bare minimum, the most innocent way to think about this is Elon Musk now knows every single thing about every federal contractor who competes with him. That is a competitive advantage. It is akin to insider knowledge, and uniquely he possesses it because he was a huge contributor to President Trump's campaign There is no visible oversight. There is no way to understand how, if at all, he is even weighing potential conflicts of interest. And he's in possession of all this data, and no one else is. That makes him kind of a central player in the federal government and its disbursement of some $6 trillion a year. I'm not exactly sure that's what Trump supporters were voting for.
Whew, yeah, that's a lot to take in, Major. Well, as we let you go, is there anything you want to tell us?
Yeah, anything?
Anything?
Yeah,
not quite yet.
Okay.
Not quite yet.
Man.
All right. I mean,
not quite yet, but real soon.
Yeah, what is soon? I mean, soon can be
it's a little hurtful.
A year.
Yeah, a little hurtful, but
No. No. We will have updates this month.
Month. Okay. Okay.
Yes, we will.
Well,
yes,
that's
we
exciting.
Will.
We can live with that.
Well,
yes.
Thank you.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you so much, Major. We look forward to it. Look forward to talking to you next week. Keep up the good work.
I will try.
Right. Thanks, Major. That is Major Garrett, CBS Chief Washington Correspondent.